You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back with the midweek episode, our Wednesday episode of the show. And we've talked about a lot already this week. Obviously, we talked about the Jamal Adams rumors yesterday and what that would mean for the team. If you haven't had a chance to go listen to that yet, go check that out, because there are some pros and cons to weigh when kind of looking at the addition of Jamal Adams. And then on Monday, we looked at the rest of the AFC North and their draft classes, because we've talked so much about the Ravens draft class. It was time to kind of get a look at our opponents and see what they did to either counter the Ravens or get better as a football team. But here we are on Wednesday, what usually would have been the 2019 positional review. We have been doing it for so many weeks now, a few months, but we finished off with the coaches last week, and that's really all of the positions. The coaches, you can even argue, wasn't a position, but I wanted to give the coaches credit. So here we are, in need of a new Wednesday segment, and I think I've found it, and it's going to go back way back to when the season ended and kind of be a similar formula and format to that. So what I'm going to do is, instead of reviewing the 2019 schedule, we're going to look ahead and preview the 2020 schedule every Wednesday here on Locked On Ravens. Personally, I don't feel a need to do the preseason to preview the preseason games. Honestly, if we're being honest, there's no guarantee the preseason even happens this year. So again, I don't feel a need to do that. So what we're going to do is every week for the next few weeks, we're going to be previewing this 2020 schedule. So we'll do three segments, three games. So we'll start in week one against the Cleveland Browns at home. Then in the second segment, we'll talk about when the Ravens travel to Houston and take on the Houston Texans in week two. And then finally in the third segment, that primetime Monday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs at, not Arrowhead, but in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. So we're going to do three segments, three games. I think it's good to just look ahead, look forward to the opponents, kind of analyze what they've done over the offseason, how that matches up with what the Ravens have done over the offseason, and just get into it. And then here, this segment today, we're going to be talking about the two teams that the Ravens lost to outside of course, the Titans in the playoffs in 2019, weeks 3 and 4 to the Chiefs and the Browns. So we're going to jump right in, starting with the Browns at Ravens. But before we do that, again, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens, my personal account at ChaosStriker34. Tell your friends we have Ravens content for them Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, this episode is still sponsored by Built Bar, so be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and check out all of those amazing deals and flavors that they have to offer over there. So we're going to jump in now talking about the Browns at the Ravens, starting off September 13th, 2020 at 1 o'clock p.m. at the Bank. And hopefully if fans are allowed in the stadium, it will be loud and we will be proud of this team despite the disappointing finish in 2019. Honestly, this is the game that I think the Ravens lose at this moment. Again, if you've stuck with me on the show, you know my record prediction. It is 15-1. Put the 2 and 2 together, and you get that I think the Ravens are going to win 15 straight games. Now, we like to be bold here on Locked On Ravens, but honestly, looking at the Ravens' schedule, looking at their roster, and looking at how they performed last year, and finally, the improvements that I expect out of the players such as Lamar Jackson, Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin, and a few of the other young guys, it's not too far-fetched to say that this team will win 15 straight games. Now, obviously, even winning 12 straight games, you know, it's a tough task. You have to be pretty healthy throughout the year, have a lot of good team chemistry. It depends on a lot of different factors. But getting into the Ravens and the Browns, again, I've mentioned it before, and I'll talk about it briefly again here. The reason I think the Ravens do lose this game to the Browns in week one is because, again, they are coming into this season not as the hunter, but now the hunted. The Ravens got a taste of that throughout last season, but I just think coming off that loss to the Titans, they're going to use it as fuel, maybe come into this game a bit too overhyped, and, you know, Lamar Jackson might be overthinking things a bit. Cleveland always seems to give the Ravens trouble. Whenever I watch film when the Ravens play Cleveland, it just seems like their schemes, both on offense and on defense, really work against Baltimore. I don't know what it is. I mean, it seems like the Browns play a lot of base and even, you know, two corners on the field. They seem to have personnel that always gives the Ravens fits. So, I mean, personally, with the Browns and the talent they've added in the offseason, obviously getting rid of Freddie Kitchens was a big move for them. Kevin Stefanski, their replacement, I think is a phenomenal replacement and somebody who I think will take this team to new heights. Now, look, it's always with the Browns. You have to be a little cautious with them because no matter how much talent they add, the Browns are, you know, the Browns. And until they prove otherwise, you know, it's been, you know, they've won the Super Bowl back in 2019 during the offseason. What happens? They go 6-10. You have to wait for them to kind of get started and get going before you can dub them as, you know, these next hot up-and-coming teams like, you know, you've done with maybe the Arizona Cardinals. Again, you have to wait and see how the Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins tandem works out. But for the Browns, Baker Mayfield, I think, is going to struggle in this game. Where I think the Ravens will get beat in this game personally is I just think the new defensive line has to mesh a bit. And I think Nick Chubb going up against him in week one, that's a pretty tough task. Also, I think Myles Garrett is going to give the offensive line some problems. And I know with the Ravens interior, it's going to take a little bit for them to gel. It's all about these new pieces coming in and gelling. And something that I like the Ravens doing in the offseason was making a priority to bring back their guys and to make sure that they have guys who know their playbook so they don't have to go and teach, you know, 80 new people a very complicated playbook that players such as Earl Thomas, as I mentioned yesterday, struggles with getting and struggles with learning off the bat. So for the Ravens, I just think this is a loss. I think it's a close loss. I don't think it's where the Browns, it's 40-25 where the Browns run all over the Ravens. I think Nick Chubb is the deciding factor. Look, if the Ravens can stop Nick Chubb in this game, I mean, personally, no, I don't think he's going to have 20 carries for 165 yards and 3 scores on the ground like he did in week 4. I just think the Ravens defensive line is too improved for that to happen. But again, Von Miller said that Derek Wolfe probably got him at least 10 sacks in a Bronco uniform. Some of that is being able to stunt, understand assignments, being able to pull off and, you know, wrap up the tackle along with the guard. Derek Wolfe is a master at that. It's just a matter of getting the other guys on the same page as Derek Wolfe. Get it, you know, Calais Campbell as well. All very smart, instinctive players, but again, not a full offseason to review the playbook in person with coaches. It's all virtual. Who knows how this is going to go? The reason I am picking Baltimore to lose this game is because, one, Cleveland gives the Ravens a lot of fits, and that's just what I've seen on film. Now, the Ravens were able to handle them in Cleveland in Week 16 last year, 31-25, but still, I just always have this feeling when the Ravens play Cleveland that, oh my God, you know, it's always something where, like, Cleveland gets off to a hot start, or, you know, it just never stops sometimes, and I just think that for Baltimore, they are going to beat Cleveland once this year. I just don't believe it'll be in week one. The second reason is because I mentioned the coronavirus has really wreaked havoc on this league. And I think that with Baltimore going virtual, they've done everything they can to make their players be up to speed, the rookies especially. But they're going to be relying on key contributions from rookies. Maybe there is no preseason, but Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, maybe Ben Bredesen wins that left guard starting job. You have to take that into account too, that there are going to be a lot of young guys on this team that are going to be vying for starting positions and making sure that, you know, they're not overreacting to things, making sure they don't have nerves. That takes a few weeks for, you know, players and teams to kind of get over, especially when they're young. So for me, I think that the Ravens lose this game. But again, I think it's the only loss that they suffer in all of 2020 in the regular season. I mean, I personally think the team is going to win the Super Bowl. Again, not me putting on the purple blinders. I didn't think last year was the Ravens' year. I had a lot of confidence in this team. But I just thought they needed one more year, get some of that money off the books, make some more acquisitions, fill some key holes. And they did everything to perfection. Getting back into the actual specifics of this game for a second. When looking at Baker Mayfield and the receivers and the tight ends and the weapons that he has on offense, personally, when you get later in the season to week 14 when they play again in Cleveland, that'll be the time where I think the Ravens kind of step on their throats and kind of dominate them. I think that's going to be a key point for them, for both teams, actually, for the Ravens and the Browns. Because look, let's say the Ravens do lose this game in week 1. Week 14 is going to most likely have a ton of implications in terms of maybe AFC North title, wild card, division, first round bye. It'll be a lot. So for Baltimore, coming out strong, if they lose this game, coming out strong in week 2 against the Texans, that's going to be extremely important. On the defensive side of the ball, I mentioned Myles Garrett. They still have Olivier Vernon at the moment. Denzel Ward, they still have. Now, Joe Schobert is gone. I think that's actually a pretty big loss for the Cleveland Browns. They also have guys like Carl Joseph, who they added in free agency, and they added B.J. Goodson, who I think was more of a counter to Lamar Jackson than anything else. He's not a necessarily great linebacker, but he does have a little bit of speed. I think Mack Wilson takes a big jump in year two for the Browns, a guy at Alabama who was very undervalued in the draft, fell due to some character concerns, but for me, he's a guy who I actually really like, and I think he'll be the guy for them for the next few years. But for the Ravens, they're going to have to be able to contain Myles Garrett, you know, contain Larry Ogunjobi, Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson. That lineup, it's pretty beastly, and they actually added Adrian Claiborne as well. So a lot of pieces on that Browns defense that are very dangerous. So I'm going to say the Ravens lose this game all in all. I think it'll be close. I think the Ravens put up a fight, but again, it's all about how they bounce back in week two, and I do believe that they will do just that. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be talking about the Ravens traveling to Houston to take on the Texans in week two of the 2020 schedule. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. But before we do that, Built Bar, it's still the best tasting protein bar ever. They are tasty. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and there are 16 amazing flavors, plus 4. 8 in the chocolate and nut flavors, and 8 in the chocolate and nut-free flavors, but they also have a few new flavors, such as pineapple upside-down cake. They're also healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the second segment of this midweek Locked On Ravens episode. Your host, Kevin Ostreicher, still talking with you here. And we just started our 2020 schedule preview for the Ravens, talking about week one against the Cleveland Browns. But now we are going to talk about week two, where the Ravens travel to Houston to take on the Houston Texans. And this is a game that I think the Ravens bounce back in. I mentioned that before we headed into our first break. But I think, you know, the Texans, let's look at their offseason, the move that most people look at and I look at as well is kind of the worst move of the offseason. The Texans trading DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals. And it's not necessarily that trading DeAndre Hopkins was the worst move in the world. Personally, I wouldn't have done it. But the return, David Johnson in a second round pick. I mean, that's a return where you're looking at David Johnson and his contract. The contract is abysmal. A second round pick, you can't even get a first round pick for a receiver. I mean, look, I'm not Bill O'Brien. I don't know what happened in the negotiating rooms, right? I had no say. But for me, I don't know. I wouldn't have pulled the trigger on that deal. You lose DeAndre Hopkins that, you know, when you go and look back at the Ravens 41-7 win over the Texans, as we kind of talked about with Locked On Texans, this game really swayed in the Ravens' direction when there was a no-call pass interference on, I believe, Marlon Humphrey it was, in the end zone on DeAndre Hopkins. Before that, you know, Deshaun Watson was just threading the needle to DeAndre Hopkins, and DeAndre Hopkins was killing this Ravens team in the intermediate game. He had 7 receptions for 80 yards throughout the course of the game, but it really all came in the first quarter, first half. And, you know, if they had kept that up, if that call would have been reversed and the Ravens would have been pinned at their 1 yard line, maybe the Texans score a touchdown on that play instead of having it turn over on downs to the Ravens. So I think that was a big point in getting rid of that weapon, getting rid of any weapon of DeAndre Hopkins in that talent level. It's going to hurt your team and make it significantly worse. Now, the Texans obviously didn't have a first round pick because of the Laremy Tunsil trade. So they went out and tried to acquire, you know, multiple picks so they could have more picks in the draft. Now they go and then trade a second round pick to the Los Angeles Rams for Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is a pretty big downgrade over DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it gives them speed. They have Will Fuller, who I actually really, really like and think he could be a great fit on the Ravens team. They have Kenny Stills. They signed Randall Cobb. So if everything goes well and everybody stays healthy, I mean, that's a pretty decent receiving core. But still, I'm not counting on 4 guys to pick up the production of what would be 1 guy in DeAndre Hopkins. And then you can add in the production of Fuller, and you can add in the production of Kenny Stills as well. I think that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be an insurmountable loss. I think Bill O'Brien really liked David Johnson. I think that, you know, if you can get David Johnson back in a, you know, a few years ago form, yeah, I mean, maybe this trade looks a little better. And it's never going to go in the Texans' favor. I don't think they're ever going to be winners in this deal. But I mean, look, DeAndre Hopkins is a talent. David Johnson, he is a talented player as well. Now, injuries have been kind of the downgrade of his career, the downfall of his career. I don't think that, you know, he can get back to that form he had a few years ago. I think he's certainly still a very good and capable running back. I just don't think he's the all-pro that he was a few years ago. I think he's kind of broken down a bit. And when you look at the shelf life of running backs, it admittedly isn't as long as some other positions in the NFL. So, I mean, that was a little questionable to me. This Texans offensive line has always kind of, you know, not protected Deshaun Watson very effectively. Tunsil was one of the best tackles in the league last season. But other than that, they don't have a ton of guys. Titus Howard was a first-round pick out of Southern Alabama, I think the school was, just last year. He gets injured, goes on injured reserve. He actually performed really well considering the fact that he was considered probably the worst pick in the first round when the draft was all said and done. I think this game comes down to the Ravens being hungry after a loss. I think this game comes down to the Texans offensive line not being able to keep up with the Ravens revamped defensive line. I want to put this in perspective. This defensive line for the Ravens is something we haven't seen in a very long time. We kind of got used to the no interior pressure. There's not a guy from the interior that can kind of rush the passer. That became a theme in 2019, and they haven't really had multiple guys on the front who can do that in a while. You have Calais Campbell now. You have Derek Wolfe. You have Brandon Williams playing in the position that he is supposed to be playing. Plus, you have guys like Jihad Ward who can move all over that defensive line. You can move Pernell McPhee inside, Jalen Ferguson inside. They will get pressure from both the interior and the exterior, and it's going to help against teams with weak offensive lines, one, but also teams with strong offensive lines. They're not going to get bloated in the trenches. No, the Ravens are not. They are going to be able to win some of those battles, and a lot of the times where we saw four-man fronts and four-man rushes for the Ravens, five-man rushes, where there was just no pressure, we're going to start to see one or two guys get to the quarterback after just a few seconds. And that's going to help against the Texans. Deshaun Watson, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'm not disputing that whatsoever. I just think this Texans defense, again, won't be able to keep up with Lamar Jackson, won't be able to keep up with the Ravens. And then in turn, Deshaun Watson is going to have to be forced to throw that football. And where's DeAndre Hopkins to catch it? He's in Arizona. So who are you going to throw it to? Is Brandon Cook going to be healthy in week two? I mean, I'd hope so. Will Fuller, going to be healthy in week two? Again, I'd hope so. But again, these guys have had pretty big injury histories. Brandon Cooks with concussions. Will Fuller with other things, not concussions. But, and I mean, just the shelf life of these guys that are getting injured all the time, it can be a little, you know, worrisome, especially in guys like Brandon Cooks' case who have had so many concussions over such a short career. And so people are wondering, well, why is Brandon Cooks on his fourth team now? It's because he just can't stay healthy. When he's on the field, he's a pretty good receiver, and I think a Pro Bowl won at that. But for the Texans, they're going to have to rely on that health. And if he's on the field, great. But again, the pass rush is going to get there. The secondary is still elite and will cover. So, I mean, I don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to have anywhere to go with this ball, regardless of if, you know, the Texans are firing on all cylinders, if the offensive line is firing on all cylinders. The Ravens just need to be firing on all cylinders in one of their defensive groups, whether it be the front seven or the back guys. If that can happen, the Ravens have a pretty strong chance of winning the football game. Against the Texans, I just kind of want to go back and look at this 41-7 victory because, I mean, it was quite impressive. For the Ravens, they held the running backs to a 6.1 yards per carry average, so, I mean, that's really not good. It was where the Ravens started scoring point after point after point, you know, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, where the Texans couldn't go to that 6.1 yards per carry average because they had to just throw the ball to get back in the game. Ravens fans were very familiar with that in the Tennessee Titans game. The Ravens didn't have the option to run the ball after the third, fourth quarter because, I mean, they had to throw the ball, get chunk plays. Then the Texans had to be forced into that same thing back when they played the Ravens in 2019. It did not work out. The Ravens averaged 6.9 yards on the ground. And, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, again, I mentioned that leading receiver for them. 7 receptions for 80 yards. Kenny Stills was the next best guy, 4 for 27. Mark Andrews dominated in this game. Mark Ingram dominated in this game. Through the air, he had 3 receptions for 37 yards, but he had 2 scores. Seth Roberts had a score. Mark Andrews had a score. So it's all going to be replacing the production of Seth Roberts. I mean, I think Devin Duvernay can do that, and James Prochet as well. I think they're going to move to 1-1 with this, and I think that for Baltimore, this is the start of their season. Yes, if the Ravens lose to Cleveland, it'll be a bad start, and a lot of the boo birds will come out and the haters of, oh my god, the Ravens, oh man, they're down in the dumps, right? They're not going to win anything now, right? It's all about how you respond, and I think going out showing away against the Texans, that, you know, you can go and win big games on the road. The Ravens, I think, will do just that and show the league that they are for real once again. We're going to head into our second and final break, but when we return, we're going to be breaking down the Chiefs coming to the Ravens and playing them in Week 3, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of this Locked on Ravens episode. Kevin Ostreicher is still hanging out with you here, and we've talked about the Browns, we've talked about the Texans, but now we're going to move into Week 3 and talk about what arguably is the biggest game on the Ravens schedule, and that is a date with the Kansas City Chiefs at M&T Bank Stadium. Now, over the past 2 years, the Ravens have had to travel to Arrowhead. And look, Arrowhead is no easy place to play. But now the Chiefs are coming to the Ravens' kingdom. And it's a tough place to play. Hopefully, fans will be able to file into the seats and cheer on this team. And hopefully, will this team to a win. But if not, I still have confidence that the Ravens are finally going to get over this Kansas City Chiefs hump that they've really been looking to get over for a while. A lot of people argue that the Ravens could have beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. Personally, I agree. Now, the issue with the Chiefs is, of course, Patrick Mahomes is an all-worldly quarterback. I do believe he is the best quarterback in the NFL at this moment. Lamar Jackson is number two, in my opinion. Again, we're not putting on purple glasses here on Locked on Ravens. We only speak, you know, facts. And that involves, you know, sometimes some things about the Ravens are bad and things about other teams are good. Not everything can be sunshine and rainbows for the Ravens. But I think this year is going to be a lot of sunshine and rainbows for the Ravens. And I think part of that is beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, last season, the Ravens obviously lost to the Chiefs at Arrowhead. 33-28. It was a battle of the 2-0 teams. Now, this game actually was a lot farther away, a lot farther apart than the score indicates. The Chiefs absolutely dominated the Ravens for three quarters, and the Ravens made a pretty impressive comeback. The Ravens were down 30-13 at the end of the third quarter, but actually made it a game. And then the 33-28 final score, that's your final. Lamar Jackson went 22 of 43 for 267 yards, did not throw a touchdown, did not throw an interception. He did have 8 carries for 46 yards and had a score on the ground, but Patrick Mahomes just lit up this defense. 27 of 37 for 374 yards and 3 scores. The Chiefs also had 140 rushing yards on the ground. 62 came from Darrell Williams, 54 came from LeSean McCoy, and then a few single-digit numbers from guys like Patrick Mahomes and Darwin Thompson. Now, receiving-wise, I do want people to remember that the Chiefs did not have Tyreek Hill or their top offensive lineman and Eric Fisher in this game. Now, the Ravens did not have Jimmy Smith and obviously Tavon Young, but Mecole Hardman burned the Ravens for an 83-yard touchdown. He had 2 receptions for 97 yards. Travis Kelce always is an issue for so many teams in this league. 7 receptions for 89 yards. Sammy Watkins, 5 for 64. I mean, this team just, you know, they fire on all cylinders all the time. And then on defense, you look at guys like Damian Wilson, who had half a sack. Frank Clark got a sack in there. Emmanuel Ogba, who I really like, signed with the Dolphins this offseason. 1.5 sacks. But I think the Chiefs, they lost a lot of key pieces. Ogba's one of them. I mean, obviously you have guys like Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, and other pieces on that defense that are really good. But for me, I think that the Chiefs losing Ogba, they lost a few other guys as well. I think that it's going to be a little bit more difficult for the Chiefs to hang with the Ravens, especially because the Ravens added so many pieces without getting worse. The Chiefs, if you look at, you know, additions versus losses, I give them a pretty push-even grade. For the Ravens, I mean, the grade is way up in terms of, you know, the additions versus subtractions because they added so much more than they subtracted. And for me, I think that's where the difference is. You look at this game, the Ravens are not going to give up 500 total yards on defense to the Kansas City Chiefs. Personally, I don't think they give up 500 total yards to any team throughout the entire season. That's just how good I think this defense is. Nick Boyle was this team's leading receiver in Week 3, 4 receptions for 58 yards. I don't think Nick Boyle is going to be the leading receiver, and I don't think 58 yards is going to be the leading receiving total for this team either. I mean, Marquise Brown had 2 receptions for 49 yards. Mark Andrews was held to 3 catches for 15 yards. Guys really didn't produce on the throwing side of things and the receiving side of things. Lamar Jackson, not his best game. Now, not his worst. I mean, 60.2 QBR, not the best. Was 22 of 43, so I mean, just around 50%, a little over 50% for completion percentage. Lamar Jackson playing in front of those home fans, assuming there are fans, that's going to be a big difference. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. You can only hope to contain him. It's really hard to stop him. But now with the Ravens, he is mobile Patrick Mahomes, but you can force him out of the pocket a little bit more than when you were running out Brandon Williams and Michael Pierce in your pass sets. Pernell McPhee coming back, that's big. I think that he's going to have a big impact on this game. That's kind of my underrated star for that game. I think you should watch out for Pernell McPhee, especially going up against good tackles like Eric Fisher. I think that's going to be huge for him, you know, just to get his confidence back after having that injury. But for the Ravens, it's going to be important to get off to a fast early start, because for the Chiefs, as we've seen them do with team after team after team, if they get ahead of steam, they are literally unstoppable, and they can come back from any type of deficit. They did it against the Texans in the playoffs, did it again against the Titans in the playoffs, did it again against the 49ers in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. If the Ravens get out to a 21-0 lead, that is not enough. There are games where the Ravens can pull their starters in the fourth quarter. No, I do not advise pulling starters against the Kansas City Chiefs. They are that good of a team. Just a little spark can absolutely ignite this team. And I think that for the Ravens, they have to keep their foot on the gas at all times. J.K. Dobbins is going to play a key factor. Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, Justice Hill. That whole running back committee is going to be very, very important. I think Chris Jones is the X factor in this one for, you know, the opposing player to be someone who the Ravens have to contain. And I think that, yes, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but Chris Jones is just a dominant force. And with the Ravens losing Marshall Yanda, they're potentially, again, I've mentioned, three new starters on the interior offensive line for the Ravens. I mean, that's going to be tough to go up against one of the best, if not the best, defensive tackle in the entire NFL in week three. Hopefully the guys are gelled and meshed up by that point. Maybe they're not. Containing Chris Jones, you're going to have to send double teams at him, sometimes triple team him. He's that good of a player, someone who I really want on the Ravens, but not going to happen this year. And again, he's going to want a massive amount of money, so most likely not going to happen. But for Baltimore, he's the guy where they have to contain. But I do think the Ravens get over this hump in Kansas City, or against Kansas City for that matter. I think they're going to come out strong, come out really with determination, because Lamar Jackson, I think this is one of his big goals, is to beat Patrick Mahomes. Doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter what stage it is. Obviously, the playoffs would be really nice. And I think these teams, they're going to meet again, whether it be in the playoffs or become another format, whatever it may be. I think these teams will meet twice in the course of the 2020 season, once in the regular season and once in the playoffs. But at least in the regular season, and I mean, I'm picking the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, so in the playoffs as well, I think the Ravens get the best of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all I have for you guys today. A 2-1 record, my predictions, a week one loss and week two and three victories for the Ravens for our first segment of our 2020 schedule preview. And when we get back tomorrow, Spencer Schultz will be joining us to talk more Ravens football. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.